Paul, I'm looking at the television, which is on in the studio, and there's Pravin Gordhan. Minister regrets inconvenience caused by the power cuts. Inconvenience? It's considerably more than an inconvenience, Mr. Anyway, they've got plenty of generators for the Rock on the Lawns concert at Kenilworth Racecourse on Thursday, the public holiday, and the headline band is The Cure. And the singer-songwriter of The Cure, frontman, the only man who's been associated with that band through its many iterations, Robert Smith, is on the line to us. Robert, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you enjoying Cape Town, or haven't you had time to check it out yet?
Only just got in yesterday, had a good evening, but I haven't really done very much today. I'm just kind of starting getting going, so... Yeah, hopefully I'll go out after this.
And wherever you're staying, is that electricity? I hope you've had to get used to the concept of load shedding quite quickly, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a funny modern euphemism for a power cut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Robert, I mean, it's a long time. If you go back to that group of teenagers in Crawley in West Sussex in, what, 73? And then, you know, various iterations of that band, and then the Easy Cure, and then The Cure. I don't know when you regard it as having started with your first single in 78, with the first album in 79. One way or another, it's 40 years plus. It's an extraordinary tale of longevity.
Yes, yeah, it's strange. It doesn't really feel like I've been doing it that long, but we did a show last summer in Hyde Park in London to celebrate the 40th anniversary of our first show as The Cure, and this year it's more, I suppose, really about the recording career started 40 years ago this year. So, but we're just kind of enjoying it. We've just recorded a new album for the first one for 10 years, so I'm still doing it for the right reasons, I think.
And what are the right reasons? Because you enjoy it. I mean, is there any better reason than that?
Yeah, primarily that I still get satisfaction from doing it, and other people seem to enjoy it too. So they're the two good reasons, I think.
You at one stage you said, you know, don't put a label to us. You know, we do The Cure music. That's what we do. And I mean, how would you define The Cure music? Or is that a frustrating and annoying question to you?
I mean, it isn't something that it seems superficial, but a very glib reply to, you know, because no one wants to be categorised, I suppose. And particularly nowadays, everything has to have a label, and it's frustrating sometimes because I know that The Cure does a lot of different kinds of music. I mean, we play like 2.5 hours, and in the course of that 2.5 hours, you know, sometimes we play a lot longer, sometimes a little bit less, but we cover an awful lot of different styles of music. But because it's kind of us doing it, it sounds like us. But I mean, so it is difficult. We have songs that are very, very dark, quite driving, some stuff that's very, very melodic, very sort of poppy, some kind of, you know, very... So some of it's very whimsical, some of it's very emotional. And through the course of like a 2-hour-plus show, we try and kind of steer ourselves and everyone else through all this. I think that's probably the main reason why I still enjoy it, because there's a lot of stuff that we can draw from, a lot of catalogue, a lot of music, a lot of songs, and it keeps me interested.
And growing up in England at the time when you did, you had a much older brother, a significantly older brother, who was introducing you to music that a 6, 7, 8-year-old probably wouldn't have been listening to without that older brother. But you know, just your first rock concert that you attended live was Jimi Hendrix, The Isle of Wight, 1970, as an 11-year-old. I mean, you can't start higher than that, can you?
No, unfortunately, everything's gone downhill since. I mean, in truth, I was there on a family holiday, and it was sort of happenstance, although I think my brother had contrived the family holiday to happen on the Isle of Wight at the same time as the festival. So although I never actually entered the festival grounds, we were in a campsite from where I could hear what, you know, this kind of like rumbling, and I was aware of what was going on, although not quite understanding what it was. But so yeah, I got something of the vibe, I think, rather than actually like attending the concert as an 11-year-old. I realised there was a bigger world out there, and I was just intrigued by it.
Because it was, you know, I mean, I'm sure Those of us who remember the mid-late 60s and early 70s with such fondness, we're guilty of kind of bias in ignoring the energy of the later 70s and the 80s and the 90s and so on. There's some wonderful indie music being played now and has been for years. But there does seem to have been at that time a kind of flowering of, heck, I want to do it, so I'm going to do it approach to music, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I think the late 60s, I still have a great fondness for all that music. I think because of my brother, but also because I think a lot of that music has stood the test of time. I think for me, my era was more the kind of like mid to late 70s when punk started, which, strangely enough, a lot of it was a reaction to the late 60s music. Although, really, the late 60s music kind of grew into this pomposity. That, you know, there was a certain sort of like horrible strain of rock that punk music kind of reacted against, rebelled against, and I was drawn into that because I just liked the idea of doing things for yourself, and really at heart I think the Cure has kind of stayed with that punk ethic all the way through. Although we've had a degree of success and signed to major labels and so forth, I think at the heart of it we've always slightly rejected, you know, doing things in a conventional way. If there's an alternative way of doing things, we tend to be drawn towards that alternative.
And you say a degree of success, an extraordinary level of success, I would say. I mean, you're about to rival Coldplay later this year as the band that has been invited most to headline Glastonbury. And that's, you know, that's not an honor given to many. So, I mean, the key to that enduring success is that not moving with the times in order to move with the times, but constantly being alert to changes in your own approach to the world, reflecting that in your music. And so the music changes and so new audiences are drawn in. They get attracted to the old stuff as well as the new stuff. How would you characterize it?
I think it's a lot of it, I think, is to do with the emotional side of what the band does. I think people are drawn into, there's a certain kind of thing about the Cure that people either get or they don't get. And they either love it or they're not really that bothered by it. And if they love it, they kind of stick with us. It's, so yeah, the audience is replenished, but we don't tend to shed much of our audience. So I suppose that's the main reason why we've grown to these. Yeah, they are sometimes, it is difficult to take in sometimes how the band has grown. Because I live a normal, quiet life at home. It's only when I come away and do these kinds of things and come up against, you know, people know who I am, it strikes me as odd again, you know, whereas I live in a small community and it's kind of normal. So it's only when I do this with the band, you know, this is like a trip to South Africa, and I get off the plane and it's like, whoa, you know, it's a strange kind of like double life I lead, really. But it's great, you know. It's the show the other night in Johannesburg. It was great to see that many people. You know, we've never been here before. I have no real reason why. It seems very odd to me why we've never been to South Africa before. It was fantastic. You know, it's just like such a great show, and such a great audience. People singing along. It's you know, it's the best thing I think about being in a band is the live experience.
And I'm sure it's a question that you are so tired of answering, but it is a question I feel, because I know that my Cure-loving listeners, and the many of them, will want me to ask, is how the look developed?
slowly, and I'm not really... Again, I suppose there's an image associated with the band, of like primarily based on my sort of spiky hair, black hair, which is going slightly grey now, but... smeared lipstick and so forth, and eye makeup. When we first started, we had no photos taken, really. I shied away from it. I didn't want people to know who we were, because I wanted them to listen to the music. I didn't want them to prejudge us and think that we were a punk band, because I thought we were kind of different. And I played with a band called Susan the Banshees for a while, and I saw the audience, and I kind of like, I liked that look, and so I suppose that I just kind of like moved into, you know, that kind of look. But I think the real reason is actually because I haven't got very well defined features, and I just need makeup when I'm on stage. It's true. It's like for thousands of years, people who stand on stage generally get made up, just kind of project their features, and I just do the same. It's just, you know, I just liked doing it. I think it's as a Bowie fan from way back. I liked the way that he created characters, and although I've only ever created one character, and it is pretty much me. It's just a bigger version of me and a louder version of me, and it just allows me to be a little bit more kind of flamboyant. I'm not actually naturally a performer, I don't think. So it just allows me to be a, you know, it gives me a certain, I don't know, not courage, but a lack of
a mask to hide behind.
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
Let's finish with my reading to you and a text message I've just got from somebody who lives in Cape Town and travelled up to Johannesburg to see the concert there and is coming again on Thursday. And Jacques writes, "The Johannesburg concert was superb. They closed with Killing an Arab, which was so powerful following Christchurch. Great gig, a real treat for long-term fans." So there we go.
Great. Although I have to say that Killing an Arab and Christchurch are not linked in any way. I mean, we've started playing that song again, like we started it last year, and we've had a lot of internal discussions within the band as to whether we should, but I'm trying to get the song back, because we used to play it, and I suppose, in some ways, there's a debate going on already. We don't need to start a debate, as they say nowadays, but I just, because it was the first single, it was a double A side, yeah. 10:15 Saturday night, and I just think, no, I'm not going to kind of shy away from it, because I have... I'm horrified by the stuff that goes on currently. I think it's dreadful, but that's a whole other conversation. But I refuse to kind of be. I suppose it's just me kind of bristling a little bit as an artist that I think I don't want my songs appropriated for, you know, by anyone else. So I'm kind of reclaiming it a little bit.
Thank you very, very much for talking to us. Really appreciate it. I hope you have a good time in Cape Town, and I'm sure you'll have a fabulous concert on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Robert Smith, founder, singer, songwriter of The Cure.